Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Is Iowa's privatized Medicaid program performing well? In the second part of a two-part program, let's go in-depth with Iowa State Medicaid Director Liz Matney. Liz, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I have a lot of experience with the Medicaid program. Before I took this position, was in the governor's office for 2 years and worked as her health policy advisor, so was very involved in the pandemic response, which was certainly something that I hadn't anticipated doing when I took the position. But before that, I was with the Medicaid program for 10 years. In a few different roles. I actually started as a data analyst and just worked my way through the program, working on policy and managed care oversight. And ultimately, when we transitioned from a smallish managed care program to a large managed care program, I oversaw that as well. But I do have a lot of roots also in direct service delivery. So prior to taking a position at Medicaid, 12 plus years ago, I had worked as a service provider for individuals with autism and some other direct care positions in the social service area. So pretty wide range of experience from multiple different perspectives.
Well, sure, and your background is in psychology, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And so you're working with people in your job, I'm presuming, to try to help them transition emotionally through whatever they're going through.
Yeah, that was the intent in my education. I'm very interested in that line of work ultimately. It's the space that I'm really passionate about, is lifting people up and helping them through, the challenging times that we all go through in our lives. So it's been a real blessing to be able to do that within the Medicaid program as well.
And if I'm looking at things right, you were under the program when it was, you were working for the program when it was under state control, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you knew what was going on before, and you knew what, and you know what's going on now, obviously. So if you were somebody new, you wouldn't have had that experience in the previous situation or in the transition, correct?
That's accurate. Yeah, I have the perspective of how things operated, good and bad, prior to the comprehensive managed care transition, and then, all that we have done since then to continuously try to improve the program.
Well, if I remember correctly, it was 2016 when the program shifted under then Governor Branstad to privately managed, and the goal at the time was to increase efficiency, lower cost, and then improve services. Is that right? Is that all of it?
That sums it up.
Did it work? Is it working?
Nationally, a lot of states have moved to managed care. Iowa is not alone in that respect. And the reason why is that there's a lot of different delivery platforms that you can do through managed care that you can't necessarily do in that traditional, it's called fee-for-service model, where the state runs it. So for an example is that, in our managed care program, we can cover things like inpatient substance use treatment, which because of the federal laws and regulations, we can't cover that under traditional Medicaid. So when we were thinking about implementing Iowa HealthLink, which is our comprehensive managed care program, certainly improving member health outcomes, increasing the care coordination was were two of the primary drivers of the program, with the ultimate long-term goal of being able to improve those health outcomes so that you can reduce those more expensive conditions and events that members will go through if they don't have good care coordination. And we are seeing that. In the data that we were looking at prior to the pandemic coming on, we had really seen a decrease in use of the ER and inpatient admissions, which is information that we really did want to see. You know, the pandemic has made things a bit wonky, especially for individuals who have experienced some mental health crises as a result of some of the additional stressors that the pandemic has put in play. So our numbers have you know, fluctuated a little bit in reaction to the pandemic. But all in all, I would say that while we do have opportunities always for improvement, we are working towards our goal, and we're seeing some good results.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Iowa State Medicaid Director Liz Matney. Now, I remember, I haven't talked to anybody, you know, in a year about this, but I remember some of the on-the-ground healthcare providers that were providing care. They were telling me that they weren't getting paid as much. They weren't getting paid quickly. They were very close to going out of business. Is that still the case? Is that your impression? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when Iowa Total Care came into the program, they did have some claim system issues. And if you might recall, the state had withheld about $44 million in capitation payments. So we withheld about $44 million of payments that would have otherwise been made to Iowa Total Care. Until they fixed all of those issues, we hired an independent team to come in and review Iowa Total Care's claim systems and all of the corrections that they made. And we just released that $44 million over the summer after conclusion of those three-part reviews. And so I feel like we're in a better place. However, I will say we still do get providers who come to us when they are not receiving accurate payments, and we work with the MCOs to resolve those. And that's always going to happen. And Bob, that happened in fee-for-service too. So these claims issues aren't necessarily new. They probably won't ever go away 100%, but we're always working it. Another piece that I want to touch on is that reimbursement rates have always been an area of concern from providers, especially providers who primarily rely on Medicaid for their revenue. And we know that Medicaid doesn't pay anywhere near what a lot of commercial insurance models pay. That's not isolated to Iowa. That's true across the country. We have, for certain healthcare providers, so we have it spelled out in Iowa code or our standing bills through the legislature, what cycle we review those reimbursement rates at. But there's a whole lot of other healthcare providers that we just haven't reviewed those rates in a number of years. And so one of the things that Director Garcia prioritized, and I also think it is incredibly important, is as we move forward and think about the Medicaid program, is doing more regular reviews of all of our Medicaid rates. We don't necessarily have the authority to increase those rates without appropriation support from the legislature and the governor's office, but we certainly want to come prepared with information on where Medicaid rates sit relative to other state Medicaid programs, to other commercial payers, so that they have all of the information that they need to make those decisions. And then just lastly, from an employee, from a provider closing perspective, just want to note, I haven't heard of any providers closing, especially in the past couple of years, related to reimbursement rates. But what I have heard is, you know, the effects of the pandemic.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Iowa State Medicaid Director Liz Matney. Well, I read Auditor Sands' audit the other day, and he compared, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, he compared illegal refusals of, denial of claims, I guess, illegal denial of claims before and after privatization, and he said that there was an 891% increase in illegal denials, where somebody, a claim would be denied, but it actually shouldn't have been denied. And an 891% increase seems extraordinary. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I quite simply don't understand Auditor Sands' math, even though we have sat down several times, and I've expressed my concerns to him with the report. I've given him the opportunity to share how he came to these conclusions. Still don't have very much clarity into how he put some of these numbers into different buckets, because it just simply doesn't point back to numbers that we have on hand. I think that the term illegal is quite the soundbite. When you and I and others see the word illegal, we often think that something criminal has happened, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about decisions that were made. An individual didn't agree with that. They took it to the administrative law judge to hear, and the administrative law judge agreed with the individual who brought the case forward. Prior to us going to managed care, we, in fee-for-service, we had a lot of cases that went to administrative law judges. And, you know, I embrace that as part of the process for members to receive, you know, all of the due process and checks and balances and whatnot. However, there were many times where ALJs reversed our initial decision where we disagreed with that finding, because, you know, we work in the day-to-day of Medicaid policy, which, as you probably know, is pretty complex and requires a lot of day-to-day experience in running. So, you know, simply, I don't agree with the report. I think that the numbers are distorted, and I really strongly dispute the conclusion that there was a large increase in reversals.
Well, he included the department's response, and if I'm remembering the number correctly, you came up with a 588% increase, and it's not as bad as an 891, but it's certainly a concern, isn't it?
Well, I didn't cite a 588% increase. I referenced Auditor Sand back to the public-facing reports that we have done for the past 2+ years. We have a team of qualified clinicians that review every single ALJ case. And what they do is, regardless of how the ALJ decides the case, this independent team reviews all of the information that's presented, and they come to conclusions as far as whether or not they think that the MCO's initial decision was consistent with rule and regulation. And from all of those very detailed individual reviews, we agree with a good number of the MCO initial decisions. I'm not sure how Auditor Sand honestly came up with that 500-ish percent increase. I didn't put that in my response in any way.
Thanks to Liz Matney for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe. An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.